going on down there?
Yo, yo, welcome to Prime Time! It's time to fill in a missing link, ladies and gentlemen. There was somebody who was not in on Prime Time, who is now able to be in on Prime Time. I won't say any more. I'm going to take things and pass them along over to your host for this evening on this ancillary Prime Time!
Hey, everybody. This is Seth. I was not on the Prime Time recordings because I hadn't seen Prime yet, because I don't get the hub without paying extra on cable to get the hub and a bunch of channels that I don't want, so I'm not going to pay for that. But recently, the episodes came on demand, which I could watch without paying extra. Yay. So I finally watched them, and now I'm recording this with another fellow because there's a contract that says there has to be at least one Canadian involved in every recording. So I got a homeboy, a big-time podcaster in his own right, GM fan.
Oh, hello. Yay. This is odd. You know, I kind of stepped down from my show, and now I'm welcomed on to another. So, you know, I kind of feel like this is like a little retirement party or something in my honor. So this is going to be all about me, right?
Are you a new Transformers animated television series?
Now that I got some free time, I could probably get working on it. Put in all the characters I want. Have some good old-fashioned slash fiction, you know. Get the fangirls going. I don't know. Maybe a little bit of everything for someone, and a little bit of everything for everyone.
Okay. Then I guess it is all about you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw the episodes recently. I'm assuming you saw them closer to their original air dates.
I watched them on the original air dates shortly after they were put up on YouTube, because they actually didn't premiere in Canada until last week, I believe. They started showing up on the local stations, and me being the Transformers horror of knowledge that I am... What? Knowledge horror, right? That's the word. I had to see them right away, so I did it the immoral way and watched it on YouTube, where I also watched them again yesterday so I could refresh my memory, but, yeah.
Well, I watched them about a week ago, but I took notes so I could preserve my ideas. But, so watching it on demand, there was still, like, a commercial break during episodes, but it was just, like, one ad for other hub programming, kind of stuck in the middle.
You know where there's no advertisements? YouTube.
Yes, but this gave me a chance to see what's going on with the hub and other shows.
And, My Little Pony?
Yeah, and a bunch of stuff that looks horrible. Like some, I think it was called Twisted Whiskers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they looked awful. Oh, my God. Like, when I was down there, was it like a week ago? Yeah, I was still down there last week, and one of the stations was the hub, and I'm like, all right, let's see what they got on here, just looking through the guide, and my Lord, they really need to up their ante. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, a lot, just about everything, it looks like original animated programming is CGI, and it definitely looks like Prime got about 80% of the total animation budget for the whole network.
Yeah. Well, and then there was this other fun family game night game that I also caught while I was down there. And that made me laugh, because it was like, I'm like, how the hell do you market a video game more than just a commercial? And now they figured out a way to make like a Price is Right version of all these games that Hasbro conveniently sells. So I thought that was cute.
But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Prime.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. One thing right away that I kind of like about the show is how short and to the point the opening credits are.
Oh, God. The opening intro is amazing.
You get a cold open, like a little lead into the episode. Then you just get the title and a really quick credit, and then back into the episode.
How much you want to bet the Japanese version will be full of spoilers?
Yeah, they're going to have a 3-minute long intro song, and that's going to be ridiculous. I hope that this short just doo-doo title doo-doo writer credit on to the show. I hope that intro carries on to the regular series.
You mean you don't want like a hip rap version of a Transformers theme song like Cybertron?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like the quick, simple opening title.
Although, if they did do an intro, it would probably be akin to like the music that's in the show, which is very akin to the Joe Blansky score of the movies.
Yeah, I just like how to the point it is. Just get it done. Back to the show. Like, compared to like all other Transformer programs in the past, this seems to be the most dark, intense version. Things got a little dark in Beast Machines, I guess, but the tone of this series is much darker than anything in the past.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's a lot of elements. I mean, first episode, we already had a character death, basically. Spoiler alert! So Cliffjumper, you know, he gets offed, which I guess kind of explains how everybody was like, how are they going to afford Dwayne The Rock Johnson to voice him? Well, you give him 6 lines, and that's it.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with that. Like, the advertising was, it really played up Cliffjumper in some, like, he had his own character ad, and then they not only killed him, but they kept killing him over and over again.
It's kind of a shame, because, I mean, knowing that even from the Beast Wars era that, you know, it costs money, and even in the movies, to render new characters. So, you know, here was a character that, you know, could have been on multiple episodes now that the rendering's done, but they pretty much only put him in 2 and said, to hell with him now. All the expensive money we spent on his rendering is now kind of just thrown out the window, when we could have had a more permanent character whose death down the line could have also been more meaningful, since we actually know the character a little more. Since, to us, we're kind of attached to the character of Cliffjumper from previous incarnations, I'm trying to imagine this now from the point of view of somebody who's coming into this show for the first time, never knowing Transformers, really, and it's like, oh, cool, red car. All right, he looks like he might be an interesting character, and dead. Oh, well, there we go. Like, it seems to me it'll be a lot more akin to Jazz being killed in, you know, Bay's movie to the average viewer.
Yeah, but through the whole 5 episodes, I kept expecting, oh, this is okay, they're gonna find half a zombie Cliff, and at some point Ratchet's gonna figure out how to cure him and bring him back to normal, or they'll reformat from the horn bit that they picked up. And I wouldn't be surprised if that ended up happening in the series.
Yeah, he could probably come back down the line. I'd honestly be surprised if they didn't try to bring him back to some degree.
Yeah, but it was kind of shocking. I mean, and that makes it interesting. But it was like, really? Like, they made a commercial spotlighting this character specifically, and he actually is cool looking, and I was...
Have you read the IDW books?
No.
Because even the IDW books pretty much focus on Cliffjumper and RC and their relationship. So to me, it was even more shocking that it's like, okay, here they're building up Cliffjumper's character, so I guess, you know, he'll be, you know, going somewhere on the show, and, you know, this will kind of help us understand him a little better, and then, again, killed. So I was a little surprised at that one.
Yeah, and that's something, I mean, that relationship being played up more in the comics is something that bugged me with the last Transformer movie. Like, there was all this backstory and explanation about the Fallen and where he came from and his relationship to Megatron, and the spaceship crashed on Saturn's moon, and that he was there at all, that unless you read the comics, you have no idea about.
Yeah, well, we don't know. Maybe that was also cut in the editing room floor of Revenge of the Fallen, along with a bunch of other things for God knows what Bay thought was funny to put in.
Yeah, but, I mean, this seems to be a trend that I am not in favor of, like, there's all this stuff that's going to be in the more mainstream media, movies and TV, that you're not going to understand unless you read the comics, and most people consuming the TV show or the movies will not have read the comics.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was, like, primary information. Like, it was a nice little additional thing, but it was really nothing new in there that, you know, going into the show that would, you know, really enhance your experience, I'd say. Like, it was nice, but it just wasn't anything exciting, really. Like, it was just some additional crap thrown in there.
Yeah, and the way RC is upset at Cliff's loss, I mean, you get the point that they're close in some way, but...
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're supposed to get that from the first, you know, scene where they're driving along the road, you know, exchanging stories, and then he gives his typical, oh, do I need help? No, I'll go in and do it myself, because I'm Cliff Jumper. And then he goes in, does it himself, and gets, you know, slagged, basically.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping they find some way to bring him back, because I think that there's a lot of potential in that character that...
Well, if Dwayne The Rock Johnson isn't doing a Disney film, he should be available.
232.
Aw, crap, yeah.
The Awakening.
The Rebirth. But, yeah, no, Cliff Jumper was an interesting character who had potential, but, I mean, we never really got to go from there since now we know his fate, but, like we said, we're kind of hopeful he'll come back. On the other side, though, with RC, they did play her out well, though, as, you know, being in mourning, and, you know, she seemed really taken back at Cliff Jumper's loss, and it kept coming up through the show as well. You know, it's like, oh, we lost Cliff Jumper recently, I'm not losing another one when RC comes back damaged at the end of Part 5. So, I mean, it does help set up the team. You know, it's one of the things that kind of annoyed me about G1, and there was a recent talk about this on Cybertron, where somebody was just mentioning, you know, the 86 movie and how shocked they were at the death scenes. And, you know, it's the one thing that always annoyed me about G1 was there was never any deaths within the series. But, I mean, it's a kid show, obviously there wouldn't be. It just doesn't make sense. These are robots at war, and, you know, nobody ever gets blown up. So it's kind of interesting that it sets that bar right away. You know, it's like, yeah, there's going to be death in the show. There's going to be torture when we get to the scene with Agent Fowler with Starscream, and he's torturing him with, like, an Energon prawn. Like, you know, there's definitely some adult level to this show, I'd think. And I'm kind of going to relate to Beast Wars in the sense that this might be a show, too, that kind of matures children a bit, because, you know, watching Beast Wars when I was in grade 5, you know, you're kind of a kid, and then you start going through your own personal changes mentally and physically and whatnot with the character of Cheetor, and that's why a lot of people from that, you know, age group watching Beast Wars relate to Cheetor so well, because they kind of grew up with him in the show. So maybe there will be something in this show that, you know, the children can grow with as well. I don't know which character maybe yet. Maybe not Wally B, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, jumping back to what you just touched on quickly with RC at the end of at the fifth episode, when she's damaged, she's dying, you know, vital signs are horrible, no, we can't lose another one, and then all of a sudden she's okay. She's like, oh, I'm not dying anymore. I'm fine.
It's like the total opposite Ratchet from the movie, because Ratchet in the movie, he keeps blasting Bumblebee's throat and, you know, nothing happens because he keeps losing his voice, and then this one doesn't even touch her and she's magically healed.
Yeah, it's just everyone turned around, like Jack said something dumb, and then it's like, oh, I'm better.
I'm
not dying anymore. It's cool.
Although I do have to say, I did like Ratchet's, you know, you're fine, so says your physician, you know, sends her off earlier on in the show. Like, he's got his cranky humor, which I kind of like. There's always got to be at least a cynical bot somewhere who isn't a whiny bitch like Gears or Huffer.
Yeah, of the surviving Autobots, I think RC's the most interesting so far. At least seems to have the most fully realized character, maybe. Ratchet's like a close second, and then Bulkhead just seems to be a darker version of animated Bulkhead.
And less clumsy.
Yeah, and then Prime's just... I don't know what's happened with that character. There's way too much gravitas to everything he has to friggin' say. And Bumblebee's in the show, too. somehow. Yeah,
but Bumblebee is, again, the universal singularity of Bumblebee without a voice now, who doesn't even talk through the radio, but he's more or less Wall-E, using the same sound effects that Wall-E practically uses as well. I mean, I really don't know. Like, for me, right now, I think the characters on the show are just very unoriginal, and I think that's what annoys me the most, is that it's too many of the same thing we've had too recently, again, too soon, because it's more or less a lot of the archetypes that animated and the movie have taken, and it's basically just taken animated and the movie and thrown it into a show. We have Optimus Prime, who looks a lot like movie Optimus Prime, also voiced by Peter Cullen. We have movie Bumblebee, who looks a lot like movie Bumblebee. Then we have Bulkhead, who is animated Bulkhead, you know, even down to having the wrecking ball weapon, but at least some blasters this time. We have Ratchet, who is, again, more or less animated Ratchet. He's a war veteran as well, cranky, you know, still the medic. And then we have RC, who is your typical femme fatale, I can kick your ass kind of girl, which we've seen time and time again.
Yeah, but not necessarily with RC, though. I mean, animated RC was a teacher, and G1 RC was a babysitter.
Yeah, so RC is probably the most original character, so I can understand why you actually like her, because she is unlike previous RCs to that level of, we haven't really seen that in an RC before. So it is kind of nice. And Cliffjumper was a lot like, you know, G1 Cliffjumper, going headfirst into things, you know, just doing, you know, his Cliffjumper thing. But at least he wasn't a Bumblebee repaint.
Yeah, and Cliff's a character that we don't get much of since G1.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially toy-wise, being, you know, mostly Bumblebee repaints for the last, you know, how many years.
And maybe you get a specific head.
Yeah, he'll get a new head every now and again, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But then on the Decepticon side, here we have Megatron, who in robot mode kind of looks a lot like Cybertronian Megatron from Animated. Sorry, Derek. And then you have his alt mode, which looks a lot like his movie 1 alt mode, practically down to the head popping out on the top. Starscream, who's got a build similar to animated Starscream, but he's got movie Starscream colors with even the red accents here and there.
I think Starscream is fairly different from animated.
Well, his robot mode, yes. Or no, I wouldn't agree with that one, but his alt mode, he's kind of an F-16, which is a little different than his futuristic Harrier, I guess he was supposed to be in animated.
Well, but with animated, his head was on top of a long neck, and this Starscream is very hunched down, and his head's very almost below the shoulders in a lot of scenes. Which I'm not a super fan of. I mean, it's just kind of... what I would have liked with Starscream is when Megatron's around, tuck his head down, hunch him over, have him a little more cowering in demeanor. And then when Megatron's not around, let his neck pop up, let his head get high, and let him show how prideful he is more in his stance.
Didn't he do that a little, like when Megatron went away, though?
A little, but... Yeah, a little, but I would have liked to have seen it more, a dramatic shift. I would have liked to have seen his head come up higher.
That's fair enough.
When Megatron's not around. And then you were going to say with Soundwave?
With Soundwave, he's kind of a mix, I'd say, maybe of Cybertron Soundwave with his plane mode. But I think he takes a lot from his movie Soundwave, because I remember the first thing they were selling with him when those bios popped up in the CG renderings, they were really emphasizing that he uses his tentacles, and I'm like, oh, Rape Wave is back. But, I mean, and it's cool that he has his little minion. I kind of liked that they went with the idea that they had for the movie, where originally I remember when... Don Murphy came to TFCon and they were talking about how they wanted to do Soundwave right down the line, that his minions would probably come out as pieces of him. I remember when that Soundwave image came out, I'm looking at his chest and his, like, ab region. I'm like, okay, I could kind of see, like, a flying thing come out of there, and sure enough, that's where I don't know, it was either Laserbeak or Ratbat or whatever the hell name they gave him this time, came out. So that was kind of cool. I mean, I can get with that. I mean, they don't need to be cassettes. I mean, as long as Soundwave has his minions, that's, you know, kind of emphasizes what Soundwave was for me in G1.
Yeah, with this Soundwave, I think there's some interesting stuff going on. I don't necessarily think he's an interesting Soundwave. I think he's an interesting minion. there's such a small pool of Decepticons so far, and the only ones that really talk are Megatron and Starscream. And then, like, some of the drones had a little bit of dialogue.
Well, they may as well say Roger, Roger.
Yeah, they're just identical cannon fodder. They're the Cobra Bats. They're the Foot Clan. They're the pretty blank robots that can be destroyed and not have blood.
Oh, it was kind of cool, though, that the flying ones look kind of like Cyclonus in their alt mode.
Then when you only have three named Decepticons and one of them also doesn't talk.
I don't even think they mentioned, because they call them the Erraticons, right? I don't know if that's official or not, but that's the term that I keep hearing them being called. So I don't even think they even referred to them as anything. Just, you know, send someone to get the humans. I don't know. Like, they didn't actually give them a name quite yet. So, you know, they're kind of just your faceless Decepticons that can get shit ripped out of them.
And, yeah, that's what they're there for. They're there for something for the good guys to kill that isn't a living thing, like your Foot Clan and Ninja Turtles.
Which will make for a better video game, I guess, if they ever make one for Prime, because you can kill as many Erraticons as you want, and it's not just like some faceless drone you've never seen before, like when you kill things in War for Cybertron. They even have a bunch of drone characters, but, you know, you've never seen them before.
Yeah, and at least now the drones will be something from the actual show, and not, like, for no explanation, there's dozens and hundreds of these identical-looking guys on a planet where everybody else is unique. That always kind of bugged, but at least now, you know, they're supposed to be that there. Yeah, but with Soundwave, I mean, like the thing where he turns back and takes Eco's picture, the second primetime episode that the other guys recorded, Vangelis sort of pontificated on that in interesting ways, like sort of theorizing that Soundwave maybe has his own agenda and it might be useful to remember these kids later for whatever.
Well, my guess is he's just going to go back. Like, we'll probably see it even in the next episode, once the new episodes start airing, that he'll show up on there and just, you know, here's the humans that are working with the Autobots. It's like, oh, okay, now we know who our targets are, so now Starscream's going to start hunting the humans. And that's probably what's going to happen right away. Like, I would not be surprised if that's, like, the next episode. I'm calling it now.
We didn't really talk much about Megatron. How are you liking this new Welker Megatron?
The voice works. It's a lot better than Welker's recent renditions of him trying to do Megatron in, like, the video games and whatnot, and he just sounds like a wheezy old man.
Yeah.
This really, I think he described it himself as, you know, he's bringing it down to a deeper level, and I suck at voices, but, you know, that's more or less what he's doing with this Megatron, and it's working, because it kind of encompasses what the old Megatron had. Like, you can hear it from time to time, like, the old Megatron still breaks out, but it gives this new Megatron kind of a darker feel, and for a darker show, it works well, I think. The robot,
I think it was wise not to try to recapture the G1 voice.
Oh,
is that that's done.
You know what's even more wise is that he doesn't turn into a gun that somebody has to fire.
He could be a flying gun. Shockwave. Flying gun.
You're just a Shockwave fanboy, so.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
What about it?
I like Satellite Shockwave, so take that.
Blah.
So how long
do you think before he comes back? First episode of the regular series is back, or are they going to drag it out for a couple episodes.
Maybe it'll be like animated again, where, you know, he's kind of gone for a little while and then he comes. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't come back right away, and maybe we'll see some new Decepticons come into the mix. We'll get to see Starscream be a leader, because, you know, it'd be different seeing Starscream actually lead for change, because he does get these brief stints in every show where it's like, okay, I'm leading, and then two episodes later Megatron comes back, or in the movie, you know, Starscream was kind of leading the Decepticons, but you never really see him leading the Decepticons. Like, even in the 2007 movie, when Optimus is explaining, you know, the story of Cybertron and everything, like, could it have been so hard for him to say, and since Megatron's disappearance, Starscream has been leading the Decepticons, and now you see Starscream kind of leading them a bit? But,
I would like that, too. I would like it to be a few episodes before Megatron shows up again. I'm assuming he's going to be back the first episode.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I don't see them doing what Animated did, where they, you know, basically put Megatron on a back burner, being a puppeteer to a degree still for an entire season. Like, that probably won't happen again. But, I mean, maybe we'll see Megatron doing his own thing. You know, maybe we'll see how he survives. Probably not, since this show seems very Autobot-centric. So, yeah, he'll be back probably in a few. I don't know if he'll be back right away, because, I mean, they'll probably want to play something out for a bit, because, you know, Starscream never really gets his time to shine. And, you know, hopefully Orci and Kurtzman, who are writing the show, they're not writing it, they're producing it, are they?
Yeah, but I think they're kind of overseeing scripting in some way.
Yeah. But, I mean, they seem to know their Transformers lore, so maybe they're going to try and go in new directions, but, you know, I'll come back to that later on how this show really hasn't gone on many new directions right away, but needless to say, I'm hoping that they know what hasn't been done before and they try to do that, because pretty much what we've seen already has kind of been done before.
Like on the other Prime Times again, they talked a lot more about how this Starscream is kind of different, and that he's not as crazy betrayal Starscream.
Like he's not actively
animated
conniving.
Where he was, yeah, like in animated where he was sometimes multiple times an episode trying to kill Megatron. He's a little more opportunistic. Like, he doesn't seem too broken up that Megatron got caught in an explosion and is apparently dead. But he also doesn't seem to be as backbiting as past versions of Starscream, which is already kind of a more interesting take on that character dynamic. This Megatron's already a lunatic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't beat around the bush. I mean, the show more or less has Megatron disappearing for 3 years, I think is what they said. And then suddenly he's just back, you know, after he finds his Dark Energon. And, you know, okay, let's resurrect some dead Autobots. Let him kill some of the Erraticons. What do I care? And now, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, but I'm going to absorb it anyway in me. And now I'm crazy, and I'm going to go resurrect an army. And he seems to be a no-holding-back type of Megatron, which is interesting. I mean, I don't think it's something that we haven't seen before, but it's definitely feeling like it's a little bit different than previous incarnations. Like, he's doing this, you know, to try and make himself the most powerful being. He doesn't seem to be doing it for Energon. Like, he's using the Energon to make himself more powerful. Whereas Megatrons in the past just want to conquer. I haven't really seen anything that seems to imply he wants to conquer. He just seems to want to be powerful. And have his army to command. Which
I can see this Megatron becoming tedious, though. Like, if all that he is... we gotta destroy everything. And, like, even kind of stopping short of ordering Starscream to kill himself for an experiment. I mean, if that's all that he is just destroy, destroy, destroy. Never slow down, never consider anything else except for destroying. That could get really boring.
Yeah, well, see,
especially
that's what
if you have a deeper, more interesting take on Starscream's treachery or lust for power. If Starscream is more complicated and Megatron is just a one-note kind of character...
He's going to be like Galvatron, basically.
Yeah, it's just... That's going to get boring.
Well, see, this is why animated Megatron was so popular, because he was that, you know, smart, plan-first-do-later kind of Megatron. Whereas this one seems to, you know, have his plans. You know, he had a plan to go out in space and find some power, which he did. Then he came back and went bat crazy with the power. So, you know, and it's kind of understandable that, you know, with the lifeblood of Unicron in him, he's kind of Galvatron crazy because, you know, that's more or less what Galvatron was. So it's interesting. We'll see where it goes, but hopefully, you know, they don't fall on the Dark Energon all the time as kind of a crutch. I mean, this could very much be the meteor rock of Smallville for this show. Hopefully not, but...
Well, apparently, all except for the hunk that Megatron stuck in himself had been thrown at Cybertron, at least by the looks of it. But yeah, I mean, it could be a case of, oh, let's find some more.
But it's still interesting that already they've touched on Unicron, I mean, from, like, episode one. So, I mean, I would be surprised if Unicron does not make an appearance in some shape or form in the show, since it is connected to the War for Cybertron universe. We already know that Primus exists because, you know, Primus pretty much gives Optimus the Matrix in War for Cybertron. Spoiler. So, who knows? Maybe we'll see a Clash of the Titans eventually on the show. Shrug. But it's just nice to know that already that, you know, the big badass is out there somewhere, or, you know, to some shape or form did exist already, so maybe we'll find out some more history upon that, and maybe we'll even see some of the 13, because that's kind of what they were building on at BotCon, right, was what the 13 were supposed to be all about. Like, I think they're supposed to play into this universe now.
Kind of the way I took it was they're trying to establish kind of a single continuity. Mm-hmm. And so I would assume that the 13 would be involved in this universe in some way. Although, I mean, really, it's as long as the movies are around, it's not really going to be a single continuity. But
yeah,
it seems like Hasbro's trying to get a grip on it, though. Like, you have all these different sort of versions of everything. It seems like they're trying to get a grip on it. I don't necessarily think it's working out, because saying that War for Cybertron and Prime are in continuity with each other really doesn't work, because way too much contradicts. Yeah. Megatron already, you know, had Dark Energon shoved in him. Starscream ran the research facility that was studying Dark Energon.
Yeah.
It doesn't line up at all, even a little bit. But I would predict we see Unicron in the last episode of the season as a cliffhanger sort of a thing. And then the second season will be more about Unicron.
Who knows how mystical the show will get?
Yeah, it seems like they kind of blew a few lines in this opening thing, like the whole one shall stand, one shall fall deal.
You know, it's funny because it was one of my favorite lines from the 86 movie, but it's been done so many times in recent years, it's kind of lost its significance for me.
And it had significance because that was the showdown. Like, this was it. Prime ends up dead at the end of it, and Megatron's thrown out in space for dead. In this, they fight for a little while, and then everyone goes back about their business. And I mean, except for Megatron being caught in an explosion, which wasn't really caused by Optimus himself, it's just thrown away. It's like every time these two square off, Prime's got to bust that line out. And the next time he does it anywhere, Megatron better like be like, "Oh my god, not again! Don't you have any other lines?" And then
No, I was just gonna say, like, I like it when they throw in, you know, these little nods here and there, using, you know, lines from the movies and whatnot. But it's when it's the same line done to death, it just loses it.
Well, and if they're not going to take it all the way, it doesn't have any power left in it.
No.
I mean, they wasted it. They didn't. It wasn't a final showdown sort of a fight. Prime kind of goes in one direction, and Megatron goes off in another direction, and then Megatron also gets caught in the explosion, but he isn't apparently dead because of the showdown with Optimus. And Optimus doesn't have a scratch on him afterwards. There's nothing behind it.
Yeah.
You drop a big line like that, somebody better be dead at the end. And it was kind of the same deal in the first movie. At the end, yeah, Megatron was kind of dead, but it's because Sam shoved the Allspark in him. I think that line is only big in the 86 movie because it ended the way it did, and every other time it's just a reference. But having Ratchet say it's time to light her darkest hour was even a bigger throwaway.
Yeah. Like, that could have been saved, you know, for when they actually had to use the Matrix, you know? But, what can you
or
do?
Or lead up to it. Because in the 86 movie, they do some setup for that. Like, they refer to the Matrix as lighting their darkest hour more as like a prophecy. So when it happens, there's been some lead up to it. Just to have a character goes, time to light our darkest hour! Blow this thing up! It's like, no, not really.
It's to make the G1 fanboys happy.
Well, they failed, because I'm a G1 fanboy, and they failed. It didn't make me happy, it made me sad. But, you know, also on the topic of catchphrases, there's at least twice where Optimus orders the Autobots to go into maximum overdrive.
Is this going to be the prime line, I guess, to go into maximum overdrive?
You know, my money's on whenever we finally see toys on Prime, the gimmick for the toy line is going to be maximum overdrive. That's my guess, that they've already written the gimmick in to the show.
I'm hoping if Optimus, the toy, has a voice chip, he says that better be included with my toy. Otherwise, Hasbro is not getting my money.
I would not be surprised if the toys had, like, a spring motor gimmick. Like, where you pull the car back, let it go, and it goes off. And it's the maximum overdrive feature. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I'll be surprised if it isn't. Because it seems so... Like, here, they throw out these now cliche lines, one shall stand, one shall fall, light or dark sour. But Prime never orders the Autobots to transform and roll out. He says transform and maximum overdrive.
Yeah.
If you're going to be biting lines from the past, why are you showing restraint on using transform and roll out if maximum overdrive isn't supposed to be some new catchphrase?
Yeah.
And if these shows are supposed to be half-hour commercials for toys, the toy's going to have some sort of maximum overdrive gimmick, whatever that might be. That's my prediction, and I'm laying it down.
Right, let's see how well that turns out.
Well, I said it in an exaggerated, jokey way before this miniseries, but explaining how the humans get wrapped up with the Autobots in the first place, I kind of called it. They just sort of get scooped up and taken along for the ride when stuff starts fighting.
You saw us, now you have to come with us.
Yeah, or like, you just happen to be standing here when the Decepticons attack, so the only intelligent thing to do would be to pick you up and run away with you.
And these are the only three humans who ever see them, like, you know, in all these, you know, huge battles that they have, you know, in the public, you know, nobody else ever sees them in robot mode ever, that they don't just scoop up and take away? I don't know. Something's not adding up.
Well, I like that the show is set small-town Nebraska. It's similar to G1, at least the early episodes, where they're kind of just, like, out in a desert somewhere.
Yeah.
So they can kind of have these battles and realistically be away from civilization or away from a population center.
Exploding noise. Just the bombing range again. All right.
I mean, if the United States government is as aware of them as they are to have given them a silo and Agent Fowler, then I mean, something must have happened in the past that had been covered up.
May also say how much I love Ernie Hudson playing Agent Fowler.
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, I don't know. I just like Ernie because I was a big Ghostbusters, you know, fanboy when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, I'm a big Ghostbuster fan too, but I don't know. I mean, I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah, I find he'll probably be like fan zone. He'll probably be like that human adult character where you actually don't mind him because he's kind of cranky and, you know, he gets a one-liner in there every once in a while that gives you a little laugh.
Friggin' robots.
No, so
I've been slimed. It's like, oh no. Now they're wasting lines from Ghostbusters.
Oh my god, they better be like, they better like do a Twinkie comparison somewhere and he can say that's one big Twinkie.
Or when he was all loopy from being tortured and they're like, Agent Fowler, there is no Fowler, there's only Zool. Oh no.
Or if Astro Train ever shows up, you know, and he like runs by him and Optus will ask him if he got the number on the locomotive.
Yeah. Just, oh no, they're ruining another franchise at the same time. But you know, on the topic of Agent Fowler, let's talk about the dumb kids.
Oh, okay, do we have to? But all right.
Well, Jack the reluctant hero, I assume by at least the end of the first season, he'll come into his own. And be the leader that he was always meant to be, because that's how boring characters start off boring and reluctant, and then one day you realize that you were the great hero all along. And so
will he light our darkest Skywalker
hour? Yeah, he is the Matrix. Prime's gonna rip him in half one episode.
Oh, if only.
Well, one thing that kept popping in my head about Raph, he looks like the young version of the old man from Up. At the beginning of Up, when you see him as a little kid, Raph looks too much like that.
I thought they just took Jimmy Neutron and gave him glasses.
That's close to.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the character Jimmy Neutron. I never watched that show.
It has its moments.
Yeah. He's kind of, I kind of called Raph too. He's just there to do the computer stuff.
The problem with the characters, the humans, is they more or less fit the archetypes that, you know, we've seen before as well. You know, the fact that Orsi and Kurtzman kind of have their hands in this, you know, Jack, I think, kind of seems a lot like Sam. From the first movie, you know, he wants to help, and then once starts to go down, you know, he kind of wants to back away. Come like the second movie, you know, I'm not a hero, I'm just a guy, you know. I know I helped you guys once, but you know, this is it, you know. You're an Autobot, go away. And then you know you kind of have the hackers in Raph. And then you have the annoying girl in Michaela and Miko.
And but at least with Jack, there's room for him to evolve as a character. I think Raph and Miko are just going to be what they are.
Well Raph clearly has parent issues. You know, that whole scene, stop fighting, he, you know, runs off. And
yeah, well, there might be one episode, like one Raph-centric episode to come where that gets sort of touched on more, but that's not going to change him being the hacker guy, the kid that can get through the firewall, the kid that has to explain to Ratchet, who's supposed to be super high tech, how dumb Earth technology works. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he's always going to be. And Miko's always going to be hyperactive. She's never going to chill. There's at least room for Jack to evolve into another character, even if that other character is also boring.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even down to the whole, like, oh, I want to get a bike. You know, it's a lot like Sam's. Oh, I want to get a car. And then finds bike instead of finding car. Car turns out to be robot. Oops, I mean bike turns out to be robot. But I don't know. It's like you said, hopefully he kind of grows with the show, which I'm pretty sure that's his whole point of being there, you know, because there always has to be a human character. I know everybody wants their robot show, but, you know, robot show doesn't appeal to kids because kids want to believe that, you know, they're, that, you know, they can be this character, that they can have these fun adventures with the big robots. And since this is a kids show, there will always be kids to some degree. Even the hardcore...
Yeah, and characters are only going to get so deep because it is a kid show, and you can only get so complex with these characters.
Well, it could be like animated where they learn a lesson one episode, and then next episode they're back to being a dick again.
Bumblebee.
Yeah, exactly.
Who I keep forgetting is even in this series.
Well, because, you know, he has no personality. I mean, at least... I mean, even movie Bumblebee, as much as, you know, you... He doesn't talk as well, but, you know, he can at least show some emotion through the radio. His face is very animated, like those big eyes, the eyebrows, you know, the faces he makes. You know, you can actually convey what he's feeling. But with this Bumblebee, who really doesn't have that ability to manipulate his face as much and, you know, basically talks through a bunch of squeaks and squeals, he just, you know, he's just there. He's just, you know... It doesn't even connect, you know, with me as looking at this if I was a kid. Because, you know, if I was a kid watching the Transformers movie, you know, I'd understand why kids like Bumblebee. Because it's like, oh, you know, that's cool. I want to get, like, a sports car that's Bumblebee, you know, who's my guardian. Whereas this one, it's just like, he's one of three guardians. And it's like, okay, so who's a cooler guardian already? It's like, well, let's see, Bulkhead seems to kick some cool ass. RC, you know, he seems to actually care about... Jack, but what does Bumblebee do with Raph? Oh, they play video games. Okay, yeah. I mean, I could probably play video games with Bulkhead. I mean...
Away from everybody else.
Exactly.
Out in a field, alone, playing a video game. Because nobody loves them. Especially Raph's parents. It's like, we gotta get home. Jack's like, we gotta get home. I mean, it's 10 o'clock. Raph's like, my parents don't care.
He didn't say anything that scene. It's like, yeah, we have parents to get home to. And there's Raph. It's like, no.
They're probably drunk again. Can I stay here?
I'll come home. Mom has another black eye. She'll say she walked into a door.
Did you guys ever wonder why I always wear long sleeve shirts? Pulls a sleeve up. There's like cigarette burns all up his arm.
Oh, we're just going to all levels of horrible now.
Everyone's like, damn, dude, you're a real bummer.
Raph, show us on the doll where Uncle touched you.
Oh, poor Raph. The abused boy that nobody loves.
That's right, Bumblebee, you can't make fun of me. And it's like a little caption at the bottom. What a fucking loser.
Yeah, man. Yeesh. I had some other point about the human characters, but now I can't remember what it is because I'm totally bummed out.
Because we went down this horrible, horrible tangent.
Oh, yeah. So Jack has this big emo moment of like, this is too crazy. We're just kids. We can't. I got to go home. And then... for whatever reason, everybody needs him to come back.
Also, how old is Jack again? Like 17, 16, I think?
I think he was 16.
Why does he have a motorcycle? What parent lets a 16-year-old get a motorcycle?
Well, and also I love, it's like this super friggin' sport bike.
It's a ninja, basically. It's like one of those ninja bikes that, you know, are ridiculous fast.
Yeah, and it's like pristine, shiny, metallic blue. Mom comes home, where'd you get that bike? Oh, I got it cheap because it needs a lot of work.
I'm a little surprised Mom didn't point out. Yeah, all right, that's fine. If you have to work on it.
Yeah, it looks busted as hell. It looks like you got some busted old bike that you could fix up.
I'm a little surprised she didn't point out the pink accents and question him.
But that's the part that needs to be fixed, Mom.
Jack? What's with this Raph boy you've been hanging out with?
But similar to RC suddenly not dying anymore, when Jack does come back, he, like, comes back all sheepish, like, hey, guys, I'm back. And then, like, everybody looks at him for a second, and then Prime's like, all right, everyone through the land bridge. It's like, nobody cared. Like, nobody even said anything. Like, oh, yay, Jack's back. It's like, Prime just looks at him like, whatever.
Aw, Jack, we lost an ally. Can't do one.
It's like, yeah. You were gone? Where'd you, what? I thought you were in the bathroom. We got stuff to do.
Well, you know, you're always slowing us down.
It's just like, there's like these sudden, just like, here's drama, and it's over.
Well, it's the one thing I'll give the show one thing, though. It does have good action. The action scenes that we have seen in it have been fairly well done.
Yeah, some of the fight choreography is really good.
Because, I mean, let's look back at a lot of the other shows that we've had in years. I mean, animated had some cool fight scenes, but they were few and far between. And then you had the movieverse where, you know, I think a lot of people can agree that Forest Battle was pretty cool, no matter how you dislike the movies.
That's the only part of the movie that I really liked. The Forest Battle was awesome. The rest of the movie was a mess.
So you have that, and then before that, we pretty much had the Armada, Energon, Cybertron scenes, which was, every battle was, you know, stock footage, because it was your usual Japanese way of saving money. You know, and every time they had to do an attack, they had to scream it, and it was always the same motion, and, you know, it was pretty lame overall. And then let's look at G1, where the really cool battle was in the 86 movie with Optimus and Megatron, and in the show, it was, you know, few and far between again, where you got these really intense battle scenes. You know, you'd have Thrust getting bitten by a giant Grimlock for some reason in the intro, and that was about it.
Yeah, the quality of the animation is very good. The fights are well choreographed. Even like the sky in shots. Like, in the first episode, when everything's sort of twilight,
mm-hmm.
look really incredible. Like, there's some really good animation in here.
Well, like, the scenery, like, I like that scene at the beginning where RC and Cliffjump are talking, and, you know, RC drives by, like, a cliff face, like, it looked really well done. Like, I think that was some of the early footage we saw as well, like, in the trailers, was that RC drive-by shot. And, like, I can't help but really enjoy that. And then, at the same time, I can't help but really question why the Autobots are driving, like, a bunch of assholes. Because you have... Because, like, every time it cuts to, like, another Autobot while they're doing the talking, there's Cliffjumper swerving, you know, in and out of lanes. Then you have, like, Ratchet, like, skidding again. And then you got Bumblebee skidding side to side. And I'd like to know where Ratchet was, where there was, like, snow. You know, they're supposed to be, like, in this desert. They're like, oh, Ratchet never leaves, but yet here he is at the beginning.
It's Nebraska. It's like, plains. not really desert, but plains.
I don't know. I'm not up on my U.S. geography. See, I live in Igloo Land.
But that town, even the town, I mean, it looks like a small rural American town.
Yeah, like, there's no big buildings or anything.
Yeah, there's towns that look a lot like that, even in California, like, when you get out of, like, the big city centers and out more into the farmland kind of areas where things are a little flatter. That's what those kind of towns look like. That town is very believable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just generic buildings. It looks like a real place. So, like, all that stuff's pretty incredible. Where I think the animation kind of doesn't live up is with the human characters.
Yeah.
I think they look too plastic. Where the robots, they all have, like, a metallic sheen to them. The more flat textured humans just look plastic.
Well, I don't think they really want to go for, like, you know, the really huge, like, what can I think of? I mean, I don't think they were trying to go for Jeff Bridges and Tron Legacy type you look.
No, that would be weird.
That would just be odd. I mean, it kind of suits the animation style, though, I think, the way the humans look. But, you know, I'll have to agree, they kind of have a weird kind of shine to them where they just don't really look... They look like they're porcelain to a degree.
Yeah, and if all the characters were like that, then it would be fine. But with how metallic the robot characters are is where it stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if the robots were flat textured instead of metallic textured, then it would all blend together more. But I just think it kind of sticks out.
But all in all, it's the animation for the show. It'll probably just also be like Beast Wars, where over time it may change, it may improve. Who knows? We'll see. I mean, why wouldn't they update the texturing of characters too? You know, they might make it look a little bit sharper. They might make, you know, the surfaces look different over time. It's probably going to evolve with the show too. I mean, but the lighting as well, something that I have to point out, the lighting effects were really well done too.
Yeah.
Cause there's definitely, portions where, you know, they're in a darker area, or even Megatron has that glow about him, and it didn't really look like it was forced, or, you know, it looked pretty spot on of what you would expect them to look like in these scenes.
The quality of the animation is very high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost wondering if they're going to be able to maintain that. Did they maybe blow it all on the opening miniseries, or when they have to do like a full season's worth of episodes, are they going to be able to keep that level up, or are we going to start seeing like recycled backgrounds and recycled color palettes or whatever? I don't know.
Well, with the fact that they're able to take the ground bridge anywhere, I mean, one second they're in Jasper, Nevada, or wherever the hell it was. What state was it? Nevada. And next thing you know, they're able to go to Texas, and they're in this completely new area where, you know, they're at the dish radar, the big dishes there in Texas. You know, now it's a completely new scenery. So they're probably going to, you know, go to a lot of different places probably with the ability to use the ground bridge, which also seems to have the ability to go into space, thus confusing the name ground bridge, but whatever.
But they weren't sure if it was going to work going into space.
Yeah, I know, it's just silly. Okay, it's just me. But now, should we talk about the story a bit?
Well, I just, also on, you reminded me talking about getting around. I just think it's a lucky break that this is a cartoon, and they don't have to explain why NORAD isn't able to track Starscream's gigantic warship flying around all over the place.
Cloaking device.
Okay, there you go. My bad.
Yeah. No pro. This is why we're here, to explain these things to our listeners.
So with the story, though, I think we kind of hit a lot of the major plot points. What else about it?
I don't know. I'll let you go first. What did you think, at least, about the first five episodes, storyline-wise, overall?
Well, I mean, if they hadn't tried to play it off saying that it was in continuity with War for Cybertron, I probably would have enjoyed it more. I found the complete lack of continuity distracting. It doesn't fit. They probably shouldn't have tried to.
Although, here's an interesting fact. I don't know if a lot of people caught this, but when they showed it, I had to look it up for myself, but the image of Cybertron that does show up in the show is actually the image of Cybertron that is used in War for Cybertron. So it is the same Cybertron. If that
helps.
Yeah,
but like the whole discrepancy with Dark Energy.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of discrepancies with that. I mean, there was discrepancies with an Exodus in the video game.
Yeah, it's just I didn't read Exodus. Does Exodus seem to have more continuity with Prime?
Yes and no. There's certain things that do, like Bumblebee losing his voice, and then certain things that don't, like the story.
Yeah, like it seems like Hasbro's trying to get a grip on this whole continuity thing, and they're slipping.
Yeah, because again, in that one, I think Starscream, he had a connection to. I don't think he was working the Dark Energon facility. Oh no, he was, but. God, I gotta look that up again. He had something to do with it, but he wasn't really a scientist, I remember, if I'm right or wrong. But and then Megatron, again, he already had the Dark Energon. He was, you know, manipulating it and stuff, so. I believe he also used it to energize a Triptychon in that. That's how he brought Triptychon to life in the Exodus book. So, or was that in the video game? No, it wasn't that, because Triptychon was just a station, and they were using the Dark Energon to convert him. It was Shockwave who was the scientist studying that, and they were infusing their own warriors with Dark Energon to increase their power.
Okay, well, the whole thing's broken.
Yeah.
there's no continuity between these three things at all. There's some reoccurring themes.
Oh, and definitely. That's it.
Yeah, it's not continuity then.
I mean, I get that Hasbro wants to do that, but it's, you know, it's already too late to say that it's in continuity. I mean, if they wanted to do this, they should have been on the ball earlier, is, I guess, what your point is.
Yeah, it seems like things were already in the works, and they're just sort of being smashed together.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like there was anybody orchestrating to keep things in line. It's like, here are the themes, and here are things that are continuity, but nobody ever made sure they lined up. It was like, here, video game makers, this is what Dark Energon is. Make sure that's in there.
I blame that for Forrest Lee.
Yeah, but they didn't tell Kurtzman and Orsi about what the video game folks were doing, and nobody told the author of the book what the video game and cartoon people were doing with it, and it just all got jumbled.
Well, see, with me, my issue with the story is the overall unoriginality, which really surprises me, considering that Orsi and Kurtzman actually managed to make me enjoy something Star Trek related, which is shocking considering how hardcore Star Wars I usually am. They have been doing a great job with Fringe, from what Jeremy's been telling me. I enjoyed Fringe initially. I kind of fell to the wayside when stuff got busy in life, and I just couldn't watch the recent episodes, and I just fell behind and haven't really got back on it, but I'd like to one day because I've been hearing really good things of the show right now. And yet here we are now with Prime, which they seem to be involved with. And so what did they do in the movie? So Megatron came to Earth looking for the Allspark Cube so he could create an army using the Allspark Cube, using human technology to convert them into robots. So what does Megatron want to do in this one? He comes to Earth with Dark Energon to want to create an army from dead robots. Okay, that's kind of similar. I mean, I don't know about you, I'm also starting to get a little bit tired of zombies, which is kind of becoming the new vampires.
Oh, so zombies are young and sexy now?
Yeah, and they sparkle. But I don't know, it seems unoriginal for that. The characters that they wanted to use kind of seem a lot like the movie characters. I mean, instead, if they took Bulkhead and renamed him Ironhide, like the Japanese did for their version of Animated, it seems a lot like movie Ironhide, with Ratchet, with Bumblebee, and Optimus, and RC, who they oddly enough originally wanted to have in the first movie as well. So, to me, it just kind of seems like what they're kind of doing with this show is what they wanted to do with the movie-verse without Michael Bay kind of sticking his fingers in there and muddling up what they wanted to do.
I think that's probably a very insightful way to think about it, that this is the movie that would have been if Michael Bay wasn't involved.
Yeah, I mean, even down to the whole boy wanting a vehicle, you know, it's, again, akin to the first movie. You know, and even the music is a lot like the first movie. The score of the show has a very Joe Blansky feel to it. The scene, and a lot of people even said this when the first trailer came out, Optimus's line, "We're autonomous robotic beings from the planet Cybertron, but you may call us Autobots for short." Practically ripped out of the first movie, even the way he's looking down at the humans with the camera angle behind his head, and you know, you can see a little view of his shoulder. It's, again, a lot like the movie. And I think even when I saw the episode for the first time, the part five, and at the end, you have Optimus Prime giving the same monologue practically, you know, we are here, we are waiting, you know, just at the end of episode five, I'm banging my head against the table. I'm like, I've seen this before, but where? And, you know, it's not like it's been that long since the movie came out. It was only 3 friggin' years ago. I mean, I wouldn't mind this retelling of the story, you know, somewhere down the line, probably in this, you know, reimagined way, but it just seems too much of the same thing too soon, even down to the characters following a lot of the archetypes that they had in the film. Here we have, you know, the weapons, well, he's not really a weapon specialist, but you have the guy who likes to fight in Bulkhead, you have the medic in Ratchet, you have Bumblebee being the speechless one that likes to hang out with kids. He's kind of the Michael Jackson of the crew, nobody questions it. And then you have Optimus, who, again, is very similar to movie Optimus, with, you know, his, like you said, his gravitas and everything that he says, except for sorry, my bad, but needless to say, it just seems very similar to the movie.
Yeah, speaking of the whole, like, we're here, any other Autobots, this is where we're chilling, mm-hmm. if you want to hang out. In the movies, so Prime sends that message out into space and Skids and Mudflap answer the call. I'm really nervous who's going to show up for the TV show.
Well, again, that was.
Yo, Prime, we heard your message.
We got
we here.
Any Decepticon. They'll show up and like make fun of Raph for having parents that don't love him.
Yeah. Yo, where your parents at? I bet they're getting drunk. You suck.
And then he'll call.
No,
him.
You suck.
You call him a whiny bitch again, and then we'll all have a laugh. But this time it'll be funny because, you know, we're laughing at Raph's expense and not just laughing because it's Leo and nobody likes Leo.
God, could you imagine if Skids and Mudflap show up in the Prime?
There's a sad little part of me that kind of hopes they do just to piss off people.
I might be done with the show then.
But, I mean, that kind of leads up to, again, what happened with the ending of the first movie where, you know, it was, here we are, come to Earth, and it's like, oh, okay, so that's
Megatron. Let's wreck this planet with our war like our home planet.
And Megatron dies at the end of this, you know, first 5 episodes, just like in the movie, and there's Starscream, not flying away, you know, in space, but actually saying, I'm in charge now. It was just too similar to things we've seen before for me. It doesn't mean the rest of the show will be unoriginal. I'm just hoping that, you know, Orci and Kurtzman's creativity comes out, because Orci's a really nice guy. I've talked to him a few times at the shows he's been at, and he's a really insightful guy, and I think he knows his lore. He knows at least the original Transformers series. I'm pretty sure they got some education on it, because they do bring up things in the first movie and the second movie that didn't come up till later on in Transformers, like the thought of sparks and protoforms and blah, blah, blah. So we probably will see some more of that coming down the pipeline. But as of right now, this just seems like this is a way that they got to do the movie that they wanted to do.
Yeah, and I mean, I found these 5 episodes entertaining. I did find things to enjoy in it, but I'm more interested in seeing what else they do with RC, mm-hmm. like how that character plays out in the full series, and how Starscream plays out in the full series more than anything else. I think in a lot of ways, It was going to be really tough for them to follow up animated no matter what they did, because animated was so colorful and so full of life and did references to the past so much better.
Well, that's because they were able just to throw things in left, right, and center, even down to, like, Tigatron Stadium, I mean.
Yeah, and, like, by putting references, like, in the background, like, oh, there's there's Spike and family dressed like the 86 movie.
Oh, yeah.
In the background.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and not overtly boosting overused lines.
Yeah, I mean, like, they like, animated was able to pull from everything. Like, I think even Derek himself said, I think the only thing I may not have pulled from was Robots in Disguise. But, like, animated has pulled from everything, even down to Japanese fiction and characters and referencing that. I mean, even from day one, you had Black Arachnia there, a Beast Wars character. I mean, it was different from day one, and it didn't just pull from things in the last 3 years. It pulled from everything and anything.
And they did interesting things with Prime and Megatron, and they did interesting things with Ratchet, not necessarily in season one, but by the time you got to finding out what he did during the war and the whole Omega Supreme thing, like, that stuff was interesting. It was fresh. It felt more alive. So many themes in this show are kind of rehash. The things that are a little bit different, like RC and Starscream, are what I'm looking forward to seeing more of. And hopefully they introduce some more characters, especially on the Decepticon side, because just it feels very 80s on the bad guy side, where you have a handful of named characters and then their legion of nameless, faceless drones that are just there for the good guys to destroy.
Well, unlike the movie, though, where the Autobots more or less have the ability to leave the planet whenever they want, it seems that these Autobots are stuck here much more like the 84 show, G1. So there's going to be some dynamic to that as well. I'm curious to see, you know, if they do also have, like, a space bridge down the line where they're able to go to Cybertron and back and forth. Or, I mean, from what we saw from Cybertron, it's a dead planet, which could also tie into War for Cybertron, in the sense that at the end of War for Cybertron, we basically find out that Unicron's sperm impregnates Primus's ovum. And basically the planet now has to go into this stasis mode, basically, where it needs to, you know, rid itself of the dark energon by shutting down for a while. So essentially, Cybertron becomes a dead planet. So when we do see Cybertron being dead in this show, it's probably the biggest connection I could make to War for Cybertron. So there might be, for all we know, something where we see, you know, Cybertron coming back to life down the line. We may see, you know, Optimus finding enough energon on Earth to be able to speed up that process so they can make their space bridge, so they can do something. I mean, it probably wouldn't be something until, you know, the last episode of the show, but, I mean, they said it themselves that during the war, energon deposits were hidden on other planets, and that's why Earth has this energon. So who knows where that might even lead into, because that was a very key point that they mentioned. So who knows? There is potential for the show. I'm hopeful that, you know, it does flourish into this show that does have more originality, that does have something that I can take away from it that goes, oh yeah, this show was the first to do this. It was, you know, something very interesting in Prime, but as of right now, it just seems to be a total rehash of things we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to have to see where they go with the series. I can see this first season just being more of kind of what we got from the miniseries. Mm-hmm. Similar locations, similar limitations as far as travel and whatnot. Like, it's going to be very Earth-centric. If they do introduce Unicron, like, at the end as a cliffhanger sort of a thing, then maybe Season 2 will be more out in space, and maybe Season 3 will be more something else. I think that would be good to keep the show fresh, if they could kind of have a change of pace each season. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're gonna have to wait and see.
Well, the whole premise of the show right now, from the sounds of Optimus's little spiel at the end, is it's pretty much they're stuck on Earth, and whatever Decepticons come, they'll defend. So it's probably going to be a lot like G1 in that regard for the first, you know, half of season one, maybe, or maybe the entirety of season one, where all we're going to get is, you know, the Decepticons are attacking here. Well, let's go stop them. And they go there.
Yeah, but even the first season of G1, there were still cuts back to Cybertron, and there's Shockwave holding it down on Cybertron, and the space bridge, that happens in the first season, and then there's some traveling between Earth and Cybertron. They open up that universe a lot quicker in G1 than I think people remember.
Oh, God, yeah. It was practically like episode, you know, the right after the three-part More Than Meets the Eye, where, you know, there's Shockwave bitching about how they're so low on energy, yet there he is in gun mode just blasting at nothing.
This is ruling with an iron fist, man. You gotta keep their heads down.
This is logical, right, guys? Guys?
Pop some shots off.
Gotta make an example.
I know there's auto. Gotta keep them in fear. That was a horrible version of the Shockwave voice.
That was like nothing like Corey Burton.
No, not even close.
But you do bring up an interesting point, though. Where are these other Autobots and Decepticons? What are they doing if Cybertron's uninhabitable? You know, are we going to see, you know, maybe off-world other teams fighting, kind of like Rodimus' team defending against Stryker's team in the beginning of Season 3 of Animated? Possible. But now that we kind of know that the show, the reason why it's called Transformers Prime is, you know, we find out is that they're Team Prime. So, I mean, maybe there's other teams. Who knows?
Yeah, I just don't know how much of that we would see, considering the cost and time investment in creating a lot of more CGI models.
Because that's the other reason we're blessed with Animated, because Animated, it's like, here's Derek. I want this character in the show. All right, well, let's hope our guys in Korea can draw him. but now with this one, it's like, okay, we want to put in, you know, five new characters. I mean, that whole scene of the beginning of season three of Animated, I mean, in that one scene where you got Rodimus' team versus Stryker's team, right there you got 10 new Autobots and Decepticons, 5 each. I mean, you hardly have 5 each right now on both sides. I mean, you got, you know, the two types of Erraticons, Soundwave, Starscream, Megatron, and then you got the Autobots, which are 6, down to 5 now. But, I mean, now they have to, you know, CG animate these things. And I believe at BotCon, they said the animation is more or less, they do have, like, a different animation sequence, or, you know, different model for the vehicle, the robot, and the transformation sequence. So it's basically, you know, when you see them transform, it's like loading up 3 different big files that, you know, now they need to manipulate. I mean, and that has to be done now for every character that they want to introduce to the show. So, I mean, this is where I see the show being a lot like Beast Wars as well, where they're going to keep it a low cast, where they're going to introduce, you know, maybe 1 or 2 new characters every 4 or 5 episodes, if that.
Yeah, and it might be something as slight as we're receiving a transmission from another team of Autobots, and it's just like a head and shoulders Jazz on a monitor.
Yeah.
And you never actually see Jazz doing anything. He's like, hey, this is Jazz here. We're rocking it out on this other planet.
Oh, he better say what's cracking, little bitches.
Yeah, he's not going to, because it's on a children's show.
But a dark children's show.
Yeah, but they're not going to let them say bitches.
Aww.
Bitches. Because the bitches, that's why.
Unless we see Jack's dad with his bottle of Jack's Daniel. Oh, no. Raph's dad. My bad.
Yeah.
Anyways. but, yeah, we do have potential.
Mom and Dad, I'm home from the robot fight. And then just, like, the whiskey bottle shattered against the wall next to his face.
Oh, man. Ah, why didn't they kill you? Because I hacked the computer and saved the day? Nah, you think you're so good because you got a computer.
Well, I tell you about leaving your Google machine on.
bring Daddy's porn machine over here.
Food stamps can't pay the electrical bills.
Don't talk back to your father.
How did I give birth to a nerd? I was captain of the football team. I was a big man in high school.
Daddy can pretend, too. Daddy can pretend he has a real son who can catch a football.
Oh, poor Raph.
This is starting to hurt close to home.
Poor dopey little Raph.
I'm hoping he'll evolve, too, with the show. But I don't know how, considering his partner can hardly even talk with him, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's just there to make things work. And I'm sure he'll have... There'll be the one Raph episode, and then... Otherwise, he's just there to fix crap and be awkward in the rare occasions where we see the kids back at school.
Well, if this follows the same formula that... animated or Super Sentai follows, you know, every character is going to get their own episode kind of thing now, where, you know, every main character will get a little bit in-depth view of how they live. And I think, oddly enough, after watching the episode again, I think we even got more of an in-depth look of Miko than we did of Jack or even Raph. I mean, Raph, we had that, you know, the scene we keep making fun of where he runs away like a kid, just stop yelling. And Jack, we just see with his mom explaining how it's okay that he's on a death machine, basically. But then you have Miko, who shows up later on and it's like, oh, this was my life back in Tokyo, but it's so much better now. And like, just her little description of her life, you already get a better in-depth view of any of the human characters we already had at that point.
Back in Japan, I was expected to be this.
I was,
and now that I'm here, I'm gonna go crazy.
Yeah,
I'm going to get drunk and high.
Oh, she's going to be so easy when she gets to high school.
Well, she's already in high school, isn't she?
Are they? I guess.
Well, at 16.
That's true. I mean, yeah.
Jack better be. Otherwise, he's really... I got held back. I'm Jack. I got held back. That's why I work at the Hamburger Shack.
This is why I have to wear a helmet even when I'm not on my bike.
Remember when I got this helmet before I had a motorcycle? Yes, dear, my special little guy. This is why your father left.
Oh, man, how awesome would that be if we just find out that, like, Raph's father is actually Jack's father as well. He's just going around.
Jack always kind of knew. That's why he didn't want to talk to Raph at school. Although if Raph's 12 and Jack's 16, they should not be at the same school.
Yeah, why was he at the same school then?
I don't know. He was just like lurking around in the bushes or something.
Or we'll find out, oh, it's because I'm brilliant, guys. I get to take high school classes because I'm cool.
Yeah. I got moved up. Jack got held back. Because the only one in the right age grade bracket.
Oh, we're just all kinds of horrible.
Jack's actually 21.
Jack has gray hairs that we can't see.
I could buy everybody beer. I mean, I'll make you guys like me more.
But I don't want to be the hero, guys. I don't want you guys to praise me for getting you beer. Just, you know, let me be.
Oh, boy.
Like,
I think our version of the show is way better.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure just within a night of drinking, we could have probably come up with something more original and something that we haven't seen before and something that people would laugh more at. Although the show did have some good humor, like I said. I chuckled every now and again, even at Bulkhead's, you know, why were you late? Traffic. But then I started to wonder, where the hell was there traffic in, you know, Jasper, Nevada? I mean, there was no traffic the entire time they were cruising on the highway and Bumblebee's knocking over the Erraticons.
You got stuck behind a tractor.
Oh, I have a bad story about that once, but, you know, we'll leave that for another episode.
And the tractor was actually one of the Constructicons.
Which never get to form Devastator.
Nope.
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 I mean, I'm sure we will see some more of those characters. I mean, if anything, to look at what Orci and Kurtzman brought to the second Transformers film. They did want to go deep into that mythos. They were the ones that wanted to bring the Fallen into the movieverse, and then it got horribly butchered in editing. But they do seem to want to do new things and take aspects from the previous things we've seen in Transformers. But I don't want them to use it as a crutch. I want them to use it, but use it in new ways. And hopefully that's something they'll be able to do a little more down the line. But if we are looking at the Revenge of the Fallen as well for these examples, they did bring in, you know, Devastator, Combiner. They brought in, you know, all these other things that were introduced into the second movie. So, I mean, there is the ability to see these things that people liked about Generation 1, the Combiners, all this other stuff down the line. And as much as people may not like this, even Power Core Combiners may make an appearance. Who knows? Unlikely, but who knows?
Like I said earlier, I mean, we just have to wait and see where they go with the full series.
Well, I mean, have we even gotten any hints of what the next episode is? I don't think I've seen any video. Like, they did put up that one video the other day on TFW where it's like, oh, here they are coming out of the ground bridge, and they're all, like, transforming out of their vehicle modes in midair and then landing and whipping out their weapons. I'm like, oh, that's cool, because I really didn't remember that scene too well from the first time I saw it, and then when I watched it the second time, I'm like, oh, it's not even new footage.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't... If there is anything, I've missed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if there was, like, an episode listing posted, because usually when they come back, they start doing, they release, like, an episode list online or something, or just, like, episode titles, or even, like, brief synopsis, because that was the problem with animated. Season 1 was practically ruined if you, you know, read through, because Cartoon Network more or less put up, like, a synopsis of all the way up to Megatron's Rising episode. So we'll need to see if there's any information. Maybe that'll come out soon about things to come.
Well, they'll at least be listings.
When does the show come back? I think it comes back sometime in February, right?
I think it's the 11th.
Yeah.
And we're recording on the 16th of January. So, I mean, just under a month away. So, but I'm sure, like, when listings start getting put up, there'll be episode titles, and even if there's not a synopsis, episode titles could be pretty spoilerish.
It is a huge gap, though. I mean, this series premiered, what, back in October, was it? No, it was in November when it showed up. And now it's been, you know, almost 2-3 months till we'll see the next episode, maybe? So.
Yeah, well, when they were releasing, like, official art just a couple weeks before the show debuted, it didn't even have final textures on some of the characters. Yeah. So, I mean, it could have been just a case of, we got these first 5 episodes that are connected story-wise, finished, let's ram them out now to buy us some time to finish the rest of the season, or at least get to the point where we can start airing episodes and have enough of a lead to finish the rest of the season. Right.
So then, I guess what we could talk about next then is toy line potential, since they seem to have mentioned that there will be some toy line coming out sooner than we expected for Prime, much to everybody's surprise of, you know, BotCon's whole, what about Transformers Prime toys? I don't want to talk about it. And there's Aaron Archer grabbing the mic from, like, all the other designers, like, no, we will not talk about Prime toys.
Shut up! You shut up! Security, get that man out of here.
Do you guys actually want Prime toys? Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't working on them at all. I mean, we knew they were coming. I mean, it would not be a Transformers show if there wasn't a toy line to go with it. I mean, the fact that anybody out there actually believed for a second that, oh, well, they're not going to make a toy line for this series. Really?
Yeah, especially when they were, like, saying from the beginning that they're locked in for... What, 3 seasons?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they're at least locked in for 2, and I think they were already working on the third, okay. Like, ideas for the third, should it come around, I believe is what they were saying.
The whole purpose of these shows and movies is to sell product.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're just not going to throw that away.
Exactly. They're not investing all this money just to tell us a nice story. I mean, they're hoping for a bit of return on giving us this story. That, you know, in turn, you will go out there, buy the toys, which we probably will anyway, because that's us, and you will enjoy the toys as much as you enjoy the series, hopefully. And, you know, that's what makes them get fan bases. And, you know, over years, these fan bases stay with them, and that's what keeps the franchise going. That's what's worked for Star Wars. That's what's working now for Transformers, being in its 26th, 27th year, or whatever it is now.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, how full a Prime toy line is going to be if just a few months ago they weren't even acknowledging a toy line being in the works to there's one coming. Like, is it just going to be a line of Legends and then Deluxes and Voyagers and Leaders will come later on down the line because Legends is all that they had time to finish? Or who knows? I don't really foresee it being a fully realized line like we see for other things, like animated in the movies.
Yes, but keeping in mind as well that this is might be a 3-season show like animated, that's a lot of time to release. You know, even if the first wave of Bumblebee, like they were going to do with animated, it's like, oh, well, you know, the first one we released, he was too big. So here's Hydro Dive Bumblebee, who's more in scale, who we never really got on our side of the ocean, but the Japanese got it. But, I mean, it doesn't mean that down the line they won't go back and improve characters that they've already done.
Oh, no.
As well.
Yeah, I see. I mean, I don't see it not being more fleshed out and fully realized down the road. I'm just questioning
the initial release,
what we're going to see as far as toys in that first release, that first wave.
Well, if anybody out there is expecting, you know, them to look accurate to what we're seeing on the screen, I got news for you. Just look at Bulkhead's transformation. It's a lot like Dinobot's transformation to a degree in Beast Wars, where he has the skinny little raptor head who becomes this wide chest when he goes into robot mode. I mean, I don't know how he gets this flat, stubby little hood in his vehicle mode, and that's what expands to become his chest. I would love to see a toy do that well, but I'm going to guess that there's going to be some cheating going on there. These toys and the CG models that they'll have to follow, they're very, very intricate. I mean, look at your movie toys. Yes, a lot of them get very close to what they are. I mean, even right now I'm looking at Movie Optimus Prime from Revenge of the Fallen, the Buster Prime version, you know, probably the best version you can get, the one that came in the 2-pack with Jetfire with proper blue pinstriping, mind you. But you look at him, and then you look at the CG model of Optimus Prime, and while it's damn close to it, it's still not 100% perfect. So, considering the fact that, you know, you look at now the fact that when they make the movie CG models transform, they transform properly. Even though there's like 13,000 pieces in Optimus Prime, everything that's on his vehicle mode does go somewhere, even if we don't see it. I mean, he may have parts that slide into his leg that we don't see that pop out when he transforms. With Prime, like I said before, they have a different sequence altogether for transformation, so it's not fluid. So now what they're going to need to do is figure out a way to, you know, make A go to B and still work on, you know, a toy level, which will probably pose them some difficulty. So we will probably have, looking at like Deluxe Bumblebee from the first movie, there might be bits of roof hanging off arms which aren't in the robot modes. When we watch it on a show, there will be kibble. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm going to say, is there's going to be a lot of cheating on these toys, like the movie toys from the first movie, because back then they really didn't know what they were doing making movie toys, and they seem to start getting the grip of it around movie 2, and looking at movie 3 toys, we're taking a step backwards.
Yeah, and in one of the past Primetime episodes, like, Dog Dog was pointing out how RC is not in scale with herself.
Oh, no.
Like, her motorcycle wheels are her heels, and they're too small.
I'm curious to see how they do Soundwave, because he's got such a slender alt mode, and he kind of expands in robot mode to some degree.
It's going to be I think a lot of people are going to freak out.
But the kids will love it.
Well, for kids, it's always going to be good enough.
Exactly. As long as they can transform it, unlike Revenge of the Fallen Leader movie Prime.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the toys are going to be... It's going to be a scene when those come out. I think there's going to be a segment of our fandom that will act ridiculous.
There's always a segment of our fandom that acts ridiculous, regardless of what comes out. But as long as it's not like Beast Machines, where the toys look nothing like their renders, I'll be happy. As long as they try and get that, you know, head of, or they hit the head of the nail, you know, to some degree, I'll be happy.
Yeah, it's tough to speculate on this sort of thing. Was there any indication on when we were going to start seeing these toys?
I don't think we had any indication other than soon. I think a few people were saying some things, like we were going to see... Did anybody say anything? I don't recall that... Actually, like, let me see. There's the article right here on the front page of news. Blah, 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 blah. It says here, like Transformers Prime series, start saving and then posting images. Images not shown. So, I mean, if the images of the product are already out there, generally when we see these prototype images come out, it's usually within, like, 2 or 3 months, then they'll be out in stores. So, I mean, for all we know, it might even be out in the next 2 to 3 months. But then I also get a little questionable because we haven't seen any in-package images. We haven't seen anything even suggesting
nothing
that.
Nothing leaked out of China.
Like not one leak at all. But I know they've kind of, Hasbro's kind of come down on these early leaks because they don't want them coming out anymore. But, I mean, the people who usually do these releases are kind of shady people anyways. And if they want to get their, what they have in hand out there viewed to the public so they can get a high bidder again, they'll find another way. If it's not doing it through one of their own websites, they'll go to some, you know, Chinese website and make an alt ID and post it on there. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and the first toys from a new series, people that are willing to pay through the nose on that sort of stuff are still going to be willing to pay through the nose.
Oh, yeah, they'll be
frothing. That temptation is going to be there for the people who get those. And whether they're stolen off the line or a bunch of broken ones fished out of the dumpster and cobbled together, like, however they happen, they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Hasbro, like I said, has been cracking down on Dark of the Moon releases, but pretty much every day, you know, this week, we've been seeing Dark of the Moon stuff going up on the front page of TFW. Oh, new Legends figure, new NASCAR with a mullet, new thing here and there. And, yeah, I probably just gave a few movie spoilers, but whatevs. But still, I mean, it will pop up. There's nothing really stopping it if they have it in hand. So, considering that this person who was posting these images from the sounds of it, and it says here, no images, details, only reliable source, in development, 5 small new Autobots. So, I'm going to guess the first wave will at least be Team Prime, which isn't really much of a surprise for me. But then it begs the question, where do we go after the initial release? You know, this is like Beast Wars, where we'll have lots of toys, probably, of characters that won't be in the show. So, I mean, we probably will see a bunch of characters that never will come on the show, but we will get Prime versions of them, which is kind of cool. I can look forward to that. No? You?
I mean, it really depends. I mean, if... It depends on how well they fit in with the kind of Prime designs, or if it's just, here's a classics figure by any other name put into this line, like we're, like some of the, some stuff that's been put into the movie line doesn't really look...
Oh god, no.
Like the movie style.
That's true. Like, if they started taking movie toys or, you know, yeah, they'd probably take it from the movies and then, you know, maybe give it like a brighter color scheme or who knows what, and then put it into the Prime lines. Like, all right, here's this character for Transformers Prime. I'm like, I'd find that difficult to buy.
Yeah, like when they get to making deluxes, because like having this thing say five small Autobots, I mean, further makes me think that this initial release is just going to be Legends or maybe Scouts size stuff. While they're still kind of developing larger figures.
Or maybe that just means five deluxe Autobots, which would mean probably... Because they include Optimus Prime, but I mean, that could be Ratchet, Bulkhead, RC, Bumby, and Cliffjumper, because, you know, they know Optimus Prime sells, so they'd probably want to make him a bigger character. And since he is taller on the show, you know, make him at least a Voyager or even a Leader class size. Who knows if there will be a Leader class size on this line. I mean, the Classics line didn't really have a Leader line. It was just, you know, Deluxe and Voyager for the most part, other than the odd assortments like Devastator and Soundwave here and there.
Yeah, I just think it's very likely that the Prime line will be padded out with other things to seem...
Yeah, I really hope they don't do that, because it'd be more interesting to have the characters that may not show up on the show, but they'll just make Prime toys for them, regardless.
Well, a Prime repaint for Jolt.
Nice.
Count on it.
I hope Jolt makes an appearance on Prime. I don't know why. I have a soft spot for Jolt. I thought he would be lame, because it's like, Jolt the Volt, that's stupid. But then for some reason, I really liked the design after I saw his electro whips and everything. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I really liked Jolt until I got that first toy, and then I felt like I got conned.
I liked the Jolt toy. He was just severely underpainted. That was his issue, I'd say. And the whips sucked. If they gave him some cool whips, then it would have been better, but we digress.
So, anything else you want to hit, or do you want to wrap this up?
Well, we could wrap it up. I mean, I think I hit a lot of the points I wanted to say. I guess, you know, for those people who are listening to this, my guess is if you already wrote the show off, you wouldn't even listen to this episode. But for those of you who enjoyed it and wanted to hear what we had to say, tell us, you know, why you like the show. I mean, what is it about it? Because I'm curious. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who are watching this for the first time and maybe listening to this podcast. So tell me exactly what it is about Prime that's captivating you, because I'm incredibly curious about, you know, the new fan who's coming in here with fresh eyes, and what about the show is captivating you at the moment. And let's not just go into, oh, it's giant robots beating up giant robots. Yeah, and so, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, is there anything else other than the giant robots beating up on giant robots? I mean, that's probably what got us into Transformers when we were younger, and that's how we'd describe it. But, let's have some insight here. I'm curious at the insight, really, and what people have to say as well on the show. And the potential that it could have, or any other things that we may have missed that, you know, connects things to previous incarnations, because I'm pretty sure Seth and I didn't see everything the two times we may have seen it. Well, not me two times. Seth, you've only seen it once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, let us know probably more about things that we don't know. I mean, is there any information that maybe we said that it's like, well, this is what they want to do down the line? I mean, I don't know what their plans are, really, other than what they may have said at BotCon, but there may be some interviews out there that I don't know about. But yeah, educate us, maybe, to a degree, if you can, on where
Prime's
going.
Just don't be jerks about it, alright? Yeah, just, like, you know, you don't have to come in and be like, you guys are stupid. You guys are stupider than Jack.
Evangelist was nice to the show. I'm sorry. Evangelist is nice to everything.
We'd love to hear your opinions. Just keep them to yourself.
No, but I'm serious, though. I do want to know what it is about the show that, if you're really hardcore into Prime, like, I want, like, the person who is just like, oh my god, this is the best series ever. I want you to come into this thread and tell us why, so I can question it even more. Because that's just the prick I am. I'm curious as to why people would find this fascinating, because I can't. I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't have potential to be better, but it's just, right now I'm just not, oh my god, this is cool. Like, I was looking forward to animated, even though people didn't like the designs. Hell, they were probably some of the more controversial designs to ever come out of Transformers in its entire history since the movie line. But, you know, what is it about this show that's, you know, that will make it good? Like, what do you foresee from it? I'm curious a little too. But, you know, just let me know now why you're into this show. And that's probably what I'd kind of like to learn from this.
I'm pretty sure that there's threads.
Yeah, but then I have to look
CFW
for them.
About it. Yeah. Okay. Lazy. You're lazy. So, all right. I'm gonna kill this, because the original concept was it was going to be a fairly quick round of impressions, and we're pushing 2 hours. So,
isn't that usually what happens though when we get together and talk?
Yeah. A lot of the times. At least we stayed on topic for the most part. I did mention Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe. In context,
we did have a Ghostbuster talk, too. But it was apropos.
Yeah.
And Raph's abusive parents.
Yeah. At least, you know, we didn't try to work Kamen Rider into it or something.
Yeah, no weird crap like that.
Jack Although, is like a Kamen Rider because he has a motorcycle.
I did mention the Super Sentai.
He has a magical belt. His belt makes him a magic bug man.
Yeah, but we all know how much Chris likes his magic bug man.
With his fancy belt that makes sound effects.
But he's got that fancy porn machine that can do everything.
The fancy porn machine. I ride a motorcycle. That makes me fancy.
Was he wearing a helmet when he was riding that thing?
Nope.
That's sending a good message to children.
Yep.
Here's some facts. 9 out of 10 people in their first year in a motorcycle get into an accident, and half of them are fatal. So, you know, you have a 45% chance of dying after you drive one. So.
Yeah. With your fancy sports bike.
Of course, I drive a sports car, so who am I to talk?
Should be riding a hog, like a Harley. For Triumph. Not one of those sissy imports.
Kawasaki's. What are you on?
Yeah. Jack's never going to get into the Hell's Angel with a bike like RC. That's not going to happen.
And he needs a leather jacket.
Yeah. Safety first, Jack. Dummy.
Are we still going with this?
No.
Okay.
We stopped like a half hour ago.
Did you hit stop on the recording?
No.
Oh, okay, so we're still recording then. Okay.
Yeah, but we probably shouldn't be anymore.
So should we do our farewells then?
Yeah, bye. That's mine. Oh. Goodbye. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Sorry you had to put up with me for 2 hours when you actually wanted somebody more interesting.
I'll tell you who the first choice was off mic.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You are the second choice. Just always remember that.
No, but...
You were plan B.
Well, I'm glad I've been drinking this whole time, because now I don't feel so sad.
But you do feel like Raph's dad.
Yeah, well, you know, who doesn't, you know, need to smack their kid around a bit? What? That's awful.
That's not very Canadian of you.
No, it's not.
Okay, I'm gonna press stop.
All right, see yous.
Bye.
Ancillary and on demand.